warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, to raise your glass. I am Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles in the studio, and it is great to have you along for the conversation. I hope your Lent is going very... I hope it's really tough.
I hope it's very happy. I hope you're having a happy Lent.
Yeah, but I hope it's very, very tough on you.
I hope it's
sacrificial.
I hope it's appropriately
to
difficult.
To your holiness.
I hope your cross is exactly as large as God wills it.
And that you embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
Embrace that
Try to
cross.
Top that, Adam.
I'm not going to.
You can't.
I don't want to.
Because you can't and you know it.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show.
I win.
David wins. Through my humility, I am allowing David to win. We welcome you if this is your first
time
to listen.
Dude, you're not even the humble one. I'm the humble one, and everybody knows it.
That's only because I withdrew my name
from
consideration.
No, it's not because that's just the way it is. I'm the humble one.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, that's fine. I'm allowing it.
Gah!
I'm allowing it.
Don't trample on my humility, brah.
If this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, we do three things on the Catholic Man Show. The first thing we do, here's what we do.
Tell me.
We highlight and encourage virtue for men. That's what we do.
Yes.
And the three things that we do in order to highlight virtue, we do three things.
Yeah.
One.
We open a man beverage.
We open, review, and enjoy a man beverage.
Yes.
Two.
Highlight a man gear of some kind.
And three.
Have the manliest discussion you've ever heard in your life.
And it's going to be a manly discussion today.
Yeah.
We're going to have in the second half of the show, we're going to have Mark Hart, mm-hmm. a.k.a. the Bible Geek, also a frequent guest.
He will be joining us shortly, yeah.
Yeah, a co-host of also the Catholic Guy Show. He's mm-hmm. on the Catholic Guy Show as
yep.
well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for him, he better be careful because there's going to be a lot of manliness in 1 week for him.
No kidding.
So anyway, Mark, we hope that you take precaution this week.
Mm-hmm. Get some extra rest.
Yes. Maybe offer up, maybe do one more bread and water fast.
Yeah.
That probably would help.
Drink an extra glass of water or something. I don't know.
But this week, let's get into the man beverage. Let's just jump in.
I think that you are particularly.
Yes, that.
That's that, there we go. Nailed it.
Yeah. Save that one.
Particularly excited about the beverage today.
I am.
You know, I'll get my words together here in a minute. So.
No, I am. I'm really excited about this.
Why? Tell me.
Okay. Because it is called Duke Bourbon Whiskey.
And you're a big basketball fan. Is that why?
That's exactly. I'm a big Blue Devils fan.
Right.
Go Big Blue. No. it is after John Wayne. John Wayne's son, Ethan. Who was a man. Yes. John Wayne's son, Ethan, opened up a distillery in John Wayne's name and called it Duke. And so we are drinking some Duke Kentucky Bourbon Whiskey, a blended whiskey. For those of you who have told us that we do not do blended whiskeys.
Small batch. It says small batch.
Small
on
batch.
The bottle.
Our friend and friend of the show, Juan Posada, he... let us try some of this whiskey out for the show.
So the Duke,
very grateful.
Deathbed conversion to
yes,
Catholicism.
He is. His wife was a very, I believe her name was Maria.
Pass me that glass.
Sure. I believe her name was Maria. She was a very active and practicing Catholic, and throughout her whole life prayed that he would convert to Catholicism. And she died, and I believe the story goes she died without witnessing his deathbed conversion.
Wow.
But anyway, so we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus. And I got to tell you, I'm the Duke, you know, so there's a lot of whiskeys or just products in general that are named after big celebrities.
Yeah.
That don't live up to the hype.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you have a product and you name it after somebody big, you know, the expectations are super high all of a sudden.
I got to be honest, mine actually, especially when it comes to stuff like this, a beverage,
uh-huh.
like, oh, if there's a celebrity or a fragrance.
Yeah.
I don't wear fragrances anyway.
Fragrances are out of
the
question, yeah.
But if it's a drink or a liquor, oh, it's, you know, Kanye West vodka. My expectations go down.
Well, especially with him, though.
I mean, but just, I guess it depends on the celebrity. It really does.
It does, but with the American icon,
yeah,
John Wayne, your expectations
would be
high.
It
better be a good one.
I don't know if my expectations change, but I think to myself, it better be a good one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, so that's my whole point, is that whenever there is somebody like that, you expect it to be good.
Yeah.
And I think that this is a pretty good whiskey.
I do, too.
It is, they blend it from 5 to 10 years. They take 5 and 10 year batches.
Uh-huh.
They say that, the story says, from Wild Turkey barrels.
Okay. So they use...
Wild Turkey barrels.
Okay.
Used Wild Turkey barrels.
Okay.
Take the whiskeys from, but I think that it's very interesting because it's a good whiskey for its price range. You know, it's about a $30 whiskey. I think there's a lot of $30 whiskeys that are mm-hmm. about in this range. It's not. I don't think it's as good as like Knob Creek, like or as complex as Knob Creek.
Okay,
but it's definitely better than a Buffalo Trace
mm-hmm.
or. Something like a Jack, obviously, I think. Something
sure,
like that.
Yeah.
I like it. It has a vanilla aftertones to me.
Yeah. I was going to say honey or vanilla. There's something like that. You know, there's...
It has a good pepper ending, I think.
The more... I mean, this is obvious, but the more you drink whiskey, the more you... The better you get at picking up on the hints. Because there's really... So there's like a handful of key flavors that you mm-hmm. should look for.
Right.
You know, you're never going to come across, you know, like a chocolate in the whiskey or, I don't mm-hmm. know, there's some flavors that you're just never going to find
right.
in whiskey. But there's some that you should definitely be looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be all of them all the time, but you know, these 5 or 6,
right.
Maybe we should compile a list.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Of common notes.
That's a good idea.
Done it already, I'll bet.
Oh, yeah. I do like the label of the bottle. It's a pretty sweet bottle label. It's a silver with a black silhouette of John Wayne with the red Duke across it.
Mm-hmm.
It looks very manly.
Totally.
I like the whiskey. I think it's a solid whiskey for a solid bourbon for the price. I would drink this over a Jack or... Jim Beam or something like that any day.
Those are really mixing whiskeys, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
And
it's better than Bullet. I think it's better than Bullet.
I think so. I think I would agree with that. It's certainly comparable.
Yeah.
There seems to be a gap in prices of whiskey around the $30 range. It seems like it jumps mm-hmm. from 30 to 45.
Yeah, and then 45 to like 60.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of whiskeys around the 30, there's a lot around the 45, a lot around 60.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. I do think that, okay, so what? Let me ask you this. Have you watched very many John Wayne movies?
Admittedly, I have not.
Okay.
I wish, it's not for a reason, it's not like, it just never happened. Just something that didn't happen.
For whatever reason, even when I was a young kid,
My dad and I watched a lot of Clint Eastwood growing up.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's another great one. But
I know what you're thinking. Anyway.
But for some reason, even when I was a kid, my dad really wasn't into Westerns, but I gravitated towards John Wayne movies for some reason. I think like TBS or something like that would have their...
Because of the manliness, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. It makes sense.
TBS used to run like marathons of John Wayne movies throughout the day, and I would just sit there and watch, you know, War Wagon, McClintock. McClintock is my favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of really great movies, but McClintock for me has... It's such an iconic film because it blends comedy and Westerns in one movie really well. Like, kind of like, you know, Blazing Saddles kind of does that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But McClintock is just really, like, to me...
That's the best.
We talked
about this not too long ago. Do you know, is it available on Netflix or Amazon Prime?
I believe it is. I believe it's on Netflix.
Pamela and I will have to check it out.
It's really good.
Have you seen the John Wayne billboard here in town?
I did. I saw that.
It's come and gone.
It says quit. No.
I don't really much like quitters, son.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
And that's it. There's a picture of John Wayne. It's like, I don't like quitters.
In the movie McClintock, I got to tell this story real quick. In the movie McClintock, there's this fight scene, and they're all, you know, fighting, and the Indians come up as all these cowboys are fighting, and they're all watching them fall down this hill because they hit each other and they fall down this mud pit. And one of the Indians goes, "Great party, but no whiskey. We go home." And it's just hilarious. It's like one of my favorite parts. But
it's fair. The entertainment was great.
But no whiskey.
No whiskey.
So you can't say that about the Catholic Man Show.
No, you cannot.
This is a great party, and there's whiskey.
Yep.
So stay tuned. When we get back, we're going to talk about the man gear. We're drinking a little bit of Duke bourbon whiskey. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles. We are on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. This show is Catholic. It's about men.
Yes.
It's a show.
Yes.
There you go.
Logically flawless.
What else do you want? I don't know. We're drinking Duke, which is really good.
Thank you, Juan Posada.
Mm-hmm.
David, let's talk real quick about Friends of the Show.
Okay.
Because we haven't done that in a couple episodes. By the way, upcoming, we're going to have some really big changes in the Catholic Man Show in general.
Big things are coming.
With a new website and a new...
We're launching a website.
Yeah, here really soon. Within the website, we're going to have a special section for just Friends of the Show. Right now, we don't have that, but it's coming this month, so we're really excited about that. But to become a friend of the show, you go to breadboxmedia.com. And you type it, or you go to the tab that says "Friend of the Show." And if you donate to help support the show, you donate $10 a month. And in Thanksgiving, we send out a Catholic Man Show Glencairn glass, and you get exclusive content in our closed Facebook group and a newsletter and yada yada yada. You get stuff, manly stuff.
Totally manly stuff.
But really, the whole purpose is to help support the show.
Yeah.
If you enjoy the show, if you see some benefit to it. We ask for your help, and in Thanksgiving, as men, we appreciate help, and we give you a Glencairn glass.
Yeah, you get to see a video of how I keep my whiskey safe at home.
Yes, that was a good video you posted on our private Facebook page.
It's pretty awesome.
It was pretty cool. So anyway, we're about to have Mark Hart on our show.
He'll be joining us starting in the next segment.
Next segment he'll be on, which will be a lot of fun. I've followed Mark Hart for quite a while. He came into Tulsa not too long ago, maybe a year ago-ish.
Yeah.
He's also known as the Bible Geek. He's also a guest host on the Catholic Guy Show, which is not as manly as the Catholic Man Show, but it's pretty close.
It's pretty manly.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we're really excited about that. We're going to talk about the Bible, like why men should be reading the Bible to their kids, the importance of reading the Bible together as a family.
Family Bible time.
Yeah, which he is going to be really good at talking about.
So, like, if you're not reading the Bible, you should also read the Bible.
Yeah, do that. Make that part of your Linton deal.
Yeah, good idea.
Hey, real quick before we get into the man gear, I just wanted to give you props. You want to take take some time out to give you some props?
I think this is a fantastic idea.
In fact, maybe we should make this a weekly thing.
Yes.
This is going to be
the best. This is the best idea.
This is the segment where we give Dave props.
It's my favorite segment.
One of the things that you said.
Quick, everybody come look at how good I am.
One of the things you told me last year and invited me to, I didn't end up getting a chance to go during Lent, but I really enjoyed the idea, and I'm implementing it in my house.
I still have no idea
what you're going to say, yeah, I know. But this week, I did it with my wife, and that is on Fridays, during Lent, to watch The Passion, and as you watch it, you pray the Rosary. The Sorrowful Mysteries.
Mm-hmm. I like to do that during Holy Week, whenever possible.
We've made it a deal, a promise for during Lent, where every Friday we do it.
So you do it every Friday?
During Lent, yes.
Awesome.
So what we do is, we actually open up the Rosary and then start the movie, and then at the end of the Agony of the Garden scene, we pause it and pray the Sorrowful Mystery of the Agony in the Garden, and then continue the movie, get past the scourging, which is just brutal. And stop, and then pray that mystery. And so, anyway, we do that throughout the whole show, or the whole movie. And it's like a way to pray for an extended period of time.
Yeah, try it a couple different ways, because it was one of those things that, an idea was fantastic, and then actually trying to do it was, one of those, oh, man, should I have done it this way or this way? What's better? The way I did it was actually, all right, the scourging's coming up. Let's start the mystery. And so we're praying it as we're watching it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the reason what gave me this idea in the first place was I have found that when I meditate, I'm often meditating. The picture in my head is from the movie.
Right.
The scourging that I'm seeing is the scene from the movie.
Right.
So it's like, well, let's just watch the movie while we pray. Because then, there's the same image I see anyway. So anyway, try that.
Yeah,
because I wanted to know. There's the way we did it was good, but I felt like it could be better.
Haley and I really enjoyed it.
The scene.
It was tough.
Pausing, praying the decade.
Yeah, because it's fresh in your mind.
Right, exactly.
But man, it was exhausting. I'll tell you that.
That movie is always exhausting.
By the end of it, we were
especially for Jesus.
Especially for Jesus. Anyway, I wanted to give you props because I thought that was a great idea and wanted to share it with you, the listener, because I think that's something that you can pick up during this Lent to do.
Hey, thanks, man.
So, props. We just fist bumped.
You got it.
Okay, so let's get into the man gear.
Okay.
I'll let you introduce it.
Man gear today is votive candles.
Yeah. So, Dave, why is that manly?
Because prayer is manly and fire is awesome. Let's put the two together. I don't know. Just off the top of my head, that's what I come up with.
I liked it. They're both really good. But
yeah, it's like I love controlled fire inside the house anyway. Try to do that as often as possible.
Well, Dave, you have votive candles that burn 24 hours.
Yeah, so I have my prayer area. I've got the Pray-Do upstairs. And so I've got a prayer. I've got a candle that burns all the time. For Mary and for St. Michael, because St. Michael's my dude,
Right.
And so I've got one for each. It's really part of this prayer devotion that I have. It's called the Auxilium Christianorum. It's one of the things you're supposed to do when financially, if you can. Because candles are expensive.
Financially? Did you say financially?
Yeah, financially. Because, these candles.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. It made it sound like that if you're in financial, problems to pray this prayer.
Oh, no. The Auxilium Christianorum is just a prayer.
It's a spiritual warfare prayer.
Spiritual warfare prayer.
It's awesome. We posted it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, exactly.
Before.
Yeah. You can look into it. That's not what we're talking about today. But
right.
Part of the thing is to have candles burning. So I get these candles. They last a week. And for about 24 of them, it's about $70.
Okay.
So I have two going all the time. So that lasts 12 weeks. So it's 3 months, $70. It's not that bad.
Right.
It's not super expensive, but not everybody has $70 to spend on candles,
A couple years ago, whenever we did our first Theology at the Tower, we had some trivia questions, and one of the trivia questions came from Carl Keating, and the question was, how much percentage does official candles have to have, church candles have to have
liturgical
a beeswax.
Candles,
liturgical
yeah.
candles have to have a beeswax.
What percentage of beeswax are liturgical candles required
consisted
to be?
Of. Yeah. And it was like 51%.
51%.
It has to be the majority.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cool.
Mm-hmm. And it has, and then there was like why. It has something to do with the work of many, because it takes 1,000 bees. You know, for every like ounce of honey they make, they only make a tiny bit of beeswax.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it takes a lot of bees to make beeswax. And so it's some it's like symbol about the work of many coming together for the church, something mm-hmm. like that.
Okay. Well, you know, the votive candles have been in the history of the Christian history for a long time. It actually even goes back even further in our Jewish heritage.
Yeah.
You know, in the Old Testament, it mentions it quite a bit. Even for the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm. It's also like a prayer hack, I think. Oh, you got a special intention? Let's light a candle.
That's right. Yeah.
Let that candle burn for a week, you know.
And that's a prayer.
It's like a prayer hack. I mean, that's a real thing. Prayer yeah. hacks are real. And that's one of them. But seriously, there's something calming about praying by a candle.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the
fire,
ambience.
Like fire just does that. It just mm-hmm. makes things awesome. And yeah. you pray here by these candles, especially in the morning when I say my prayers at the pray do, it's dark in the house.
Oh yeah, that's the
and
best.
So it's just the candlelight shining
love
on
it.
Like I've got statues of Mary and Saint Joseph and Saint Michael. And the way I'm not kidding, this is crazy. The way the candles flicker makes the shadows on their face kind of move a little bit. And so sometimes it looks like they're real. You know, and like they're really looking at you. It's kinda cool. It's also a little scary at first, so
Another thing that I liked about the votive candle, especially with a young family, mm-hmm. is that it gets my Luke loves the candle.
Kids will flip out
right.
for the opportunity to light a candle.
So if you have issues with getting your kids to pray with you, like because it's tough, you know, it's tough to get them to sit still.
Right.
You can use that as an incentive to, hey, let's pray. We'll light the candle, and when we're done praying, if you pray with me and you say the words out loud, then after we're finished praying, you get to blow the candle out. And Luke is just all about
totally.
Blowing the candle out.
Totally. I still am.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just a guy thing,
like,
probably.
Deep down, it's like I'm disappointed that I'm letting somebody else blow out the candle. But
so I think that's a good way to...
I'm over it. I get over it, okay.
To bring your family together to pray, and even when they're young.
Mm-hmm.
It's a prayer hack.
Well, yeah, it is. It's a prayer hack. I mean, there's just something about lighting the candle that says, all right, now we're doing something. You know, it's not, oh, just come over here and sit by me while I pray. Because,
right.
you know, there's, I don't know, there's just something about, oh, we have lit the candle. The candle is lit now.
Right.
Oh, we're praying. I mean, it's like
it's
a...
It's time to begin.
It's like a dividing line. You know, something has occurred.
Mm-hmm. Typically, we have our... I don't... Right now, which is ironic. But typically, we have 3 votive candles that go during our show. Mm-hmm. Padre Pio, St. Maximilian Kolbe, and Venerable Matt Talbot.
Oh, yeah, cool. See the guy with the alcohol? See the alcoholic? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
A word of caution, if you're going to leave a candle burning when you're not at home, make sure to put it in a glass.
Yes.
Sleeve.
That's a good idea. Not plastic.
Do not. I mean, I know the plastic they come in is not, it's not supposed to burn, but do not leave a lit candle at home by itself without being in a glass. Sleeve. Good call.
When we get back, we're going to have Mark Hart on. Don't go anywhere. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Dude, you totally took my intro.
I saw you about to do it, and I was
and you did
it?
Oh, unbelievable.
I'm David Niles.
I'm Adam Manahan.
Adam's turn. He's all upset over here. It's my turn.
Dude, we like order. We like structure.
That's true. I do like order.
And I like structure, and I like to
know. Don't like it when things
are out of order. Yeah.
It's not the way it's supposed to be.
That's right. So, as promised, through the break, we got Mr. Mark Hart on the phone, on Skype, via Skype. Mark, it's great to have you on. I appreciate you taking the time to meet with us.
As well, you should appreciate my time. I'm just kidding. It's good to be here.
Mark, we just as a recap, we've been drinking a little bit of the Duke Kentucky bourbon whiskey that our friend Juan Posada sent us, and the man gear was a votive candle, and that's going to kind of bleed into our topic.
It's funny,
a little bit.
It's funny how that happens.
To prepare for this part, I've been drinking Fish Paralyzer all morning, and I lit several candles, and I'm now bleeding. So there you go. It's good.
I think you're ready. I think you're ready now. So, Mark, you work with Life Teen, and you have a lot of things going on. Tell us a little bit about how people can get a hold of you, what you have going on, what's coming down the pike.
Oh, well, if you're ever looking for me, I'm the guy standing in the back at Mass holding my 3-year-old demoniac son. Usually during the quietest parts of Mass, he likes to scream. So I'm usually stressed out, prematurely gray dude in the back. They can find me on Facebook, BibleGeek.com. You can find me on Twitter, at @LT_TheBibleGeek. You can find me on Instagram. People still have MySpace? Because I don't know. But yeah, they can find me at Life Teen. They can find me on Sirius XM on the Catholic Channel, 129, Mondays through Wednesdays, 5 to 7 East Coast.
You're getting dose of manliness. You're on the Catholic Guy Show, and you're coming on to the Catholic Man Show.
I know. If there's a Catholic Dude Show or a Catholic Not for Chicks Show, I'm hoping to get a guest spot on there. No, it's good to be here. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I meet myself coming and going. I don't know where I am, but I'm glad to be here.
Wherever you go, there you are.
You gotta write that one down. Copyright that, Ben.
Yeah.
Right there. Copyright that thing.
There you go.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the importance of reading Scripture, reading the Bible with your family. We have a lot of men that listen that have young kids, have teenagers, are looking to have a family soon. So we wanted to talk to the Bible Geek on ways to do that. So I wanted to kind of open up maybe the discussion with just asking you, since you have a 3-year-old, what are the ways that you are able to read Scripture with or instill the importance of reading Scripture with your family with 3-year-olds or 5-year-olds?
Well, honestly, I think it begins with sedating them. I believe in a steady combination of tryptophan and warm dairy. No.
When it comes to the little ones,
people
need to know right here.
Yeah.
peel the onion. Yeah. Peel behind the drape. When it comes to them when they're younger, able to 3-year-old can really kind of interact. You know what I mean? You get the mature twos up until the 5-year-old kind of 6-year-old regime. They love a good story. They can't sit for long. So as a dad, I think you have to kind of recalibrate your expectations. You know, I remember with my first child, I would get frustrated because I was like, this is so important. I want you to learn how to pray. It's so important. I want you to learn how to, you know, sit with a story. But sometimes you forget that they're still 4, you know, they're still 3. They're still busy. They're still little. They're just little hormones, just little pinballs. You know what I mean? And they're awesome. So I think first you have to recalibrate your expectations, you know, like less is more. You know what I mean? Just if you can get them to sit still for a couple minutes, when you read them a story out of like their kid's Bible or something, that's a win, man. That's a win for the kingdom. Every time you do that, you know, God wins. And I think it's just about repetition, you know. It's about us as parents learning how to put our screens away, not be distracted, not be thinking about work, but to be able to create a time, whether it's daily or weekly, whatever it is, where you're sitting down and they know when dad goes to this chair and says, you know, come on over here or whatever, that they know that's a you and me, like that's a dad and me kind of moment, you know. And you can do it with all your kids, you can kind of do it individually. I'll pray with all my kids every day, you know what I mean, like every night before bed and that kind of thing. I'll pray with them all in the car. But when it comes to like reading Scripture, I like to read and tell them stories individually, you know what I mean. So most of the kids' Bibles out there really suck. I mean, to be honest with you, they're not great. I mean, the cartoons are bad. The stories are really horrible retellings. And it's always exact same stories, exact same retreads, you know. But it is important for them to start to learn that reverence, you know. So what I've tried to do is to say, okay, I'm going to teach them how to show reverence to their Bible. And we'll read a story from their Bible, but then I'll expound on it. You know what I mean? Or I'll show them pictures from theirs, but I won't read the words. I'll just kind of expound on it and tell it the way I want to tell it, mm-hmm. you know, with sound effects and voices. And you can really have fun with it. One of the things that I was started when they were very, very young that I feel very strongly about is to teach them reverence, like visual and physical reverence for the book, to show them this is not like any other book. So if they have it on their, like on their nightstand, and there's like, there's that book and there's another book on top of it, where I would always walk over and I would always take the Bible, move it, and put it on top of all the other books. Whether they always saw me do it. Any other book in the house, if your Bible's sitting there and there's a catechism on top of it, no, Bible has to go on top. It should always receive that visual primacy. And I think if you start that at an early age, they learn to reverence the word visually before they can even understand it audibly, you know? And so that's something I take very seriously, and I always do. What's been kind of cool is, like, we'll go to, like, to my brother's house or something, and if my daughters now, like, they're older, they'll walk by. If they see, like, a Bible sitting there and some other books on top of it, even if they're in someone else's home, unapologetically, they don't even care. They'll just walk over and they'll just swap it, you know, put the Bible on top. Which, yeah, I just think is the greatest thing ever. So first, I think it's just to kind of show that visual recognition. And I think it's important that every house has a Bible somewhere where it's elevated. You know, whether that's like, you get one of those, I don't know what the crap they call them. My wife gets them, like, the hobby stores, you know, like it's like a plate holder almost. You can kind of, like, fan the Bible open, yeah, you know, yeah. But you can kind of put it up somewhere. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. You know, if you have, like, a prayer room or, like, a prayer corner or something, I think it's important for kids to understand when you're in that house, you're like, hey, you know what, like, that book's different. That book's important, you know. It's that old Joshua line, you know, hey, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Like, where you leave absolutely no question when people walk in your house that, hey, this is who we are and this is what we're about. You know, we put up icons, we put up crucifixes, you know, we put up all kinds of our favorite paintings and things like that. But why don't we normally, like, really reverence scripture visually in the home, you know? And it's almost like, I think people almost, Catholic spirit is going to be too Protestant if we do that, you know? But this is our book. This is our family. Right, we're right. The one that everybody else, you know?
It comes from our church.
Yes, Jacques. We had the director's cut with all the special features. Okay?
That's right.
That's what I would say to parents, to start small, but start physical and visual, start visceral. Help them to see it consistently, and help them just kind of get in a consistent rhythm of hearing it, you know? So whether that's, again, it's daily, weekly, whatever, help them understand that when dad goes over here and opens up their Bible or opens up his own or whatever, help them understand that this is different, that this is special. It's not the same. And that's why I always want to do a special chair and not just, like, sit in bed at night, you know, because mm-hmm. you have to read other books with them in bed at night and things like that, you know, and they'll have to for school. So if you select and create an area where they know when dad goes to this chair with this book, it's a special 10 minutes or something. That's a cool thing when they're younger. And they'll really seek that. It's also something that as a dad, you kind of, you know what, you kind of look forward to. So that's one of those things that are important, I think, with the younger kids. You know, there's also some pretty good Bible videos out there, like, that you can get, you know, if you still have a DVD player that you can find online, that aren't really that bad. I found those to be helpful because when my kids, when they lost interest in hearing the stories, you know what I mean? Sometimes, because there's such a visual generation, sometimes seeing the cartoon mm-hmm. and getting the gist of it visually, like through a cartoon first, then when you go back to retell it, they have more of a nomenclature to the story. They have more of an underpinning of it.
Absolutely.
So it's easier to kind of get it across. So sometimes people are like, it's almost like that's not purist. You know what I mean? You shouldn't do that. I disagree. I say use anything and everything you can find to somehow stoke that fire inside of kids, because they're naturally hardwired for it, mm-hmm. but they're so overstimulated and so desensitized, you know, by media and by culture and everything else. Parents nowadays, dads especially, have to work a lot harder to get and to maintain their attention. If that makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
It's funny you say that, because just the segment before this, we were talking about how through Lent we were watching The Passion, and each Mystery of the Rosary, we stopped The Passion and then prayed the Decade of the Rosary, that decade. So, you know, the Agony in the Garden, we watch it, then we pray the Rosary, then the Scourging of the Pillar. So, I mean, we're applying, you know, the same principle that you just were talking about with these little kids. We're doing the same thing as adults.
Yeah, and I know it feels kind of different. Oh, it's like, oh, if you're watching the Bible and a video. But at the end of the day, especially for your young kids, I think the important thing is that they get the truth that is behind what you're reading, especially with some of the parables or some of the stories that are being told in the Bible. Mm-hmm. The important thing is that they get the truth that is being imparted through the story. Whether they are sitting there with the Bible or watching a DVD, like you said, it doesn't matter, because it's not about reading, it's about understanding. Whatever it is that does it, I think that's what matters.
And there are times too, you know, like as they get a little bit older, like I like when they get a little bit older and they're in their, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 age group, right in their 10, you know, where you can really start telling them the stories and you can embellish and you can kind of you can have fun with it. You know what I mean? You can kind of set the tone, and whether and this can happen. It doesn't have to necessarily happen in that same way where you're in the chair, that kind of thing. It can happen when you're driving in the car. You know, I'll have great conversations when I'm driving my daughters back from dance or whatever. You know, just, you know, hey dad, tell me that story again. They'll be laughing. You know, but what's funny, what's cool is that if you are telling that story, one of the things I always tell dads is, if you're going to retell us a story, whether that's David and Goliath, or you're going to retell the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel, or something like that. I mean, there's some great stories you can tell, right? When you pick a story and you're going to tell your kids a Bible story, one, it's good for dads to do this because it makes you go back and read the story and learn it again. Right. You know what I mean? And remember it, which so it holds dads accountable. So I'm always saying to dads, you know, like, go relearn the story, or go listen to the story, you know, in a podcast or something. But what's really cool is what I'll tell dads is take your Bible.
Mark, we're going to have to pick it up on the other side of the break. We got a break coming.
No!
Time out, capital T. We'll catch you on the other side of the break. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles, talking with Mark Hart. We are on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, capitalizing on all of the welcome backs for this episode. It feels good. We could just change the name of the show to the Catholic Man Show with David Niles and Adam Minahan.
But it doesn't have the right... It doesn't sound right.
I think it sounds awesome.
No. Personally. For branding purposes, dude, we'll keep my name first.
Okay, whatever.
We're sitting here with Mark Hart talking
about... First shall be last. I'm just saying.
Excuse me while I polish my halo.
Yeah. It's pretty shiny already. Anyway, we're talking about the Bible and your family.
Yes.
And...
With the Bible Geek.
Right. And I think there's a couple key questions, Mark, that we've got to squeeze the answers out of you. The first one is...
It's like a headlock, so get ready.
Right. Let's say you've got a family already... Well, you know, there's a lot. You got to do what you got to do. There's a lot of people out there who have a family who said, "Oh man, that's a great idea. I should," you know, they're hearing this, going like, "Yes, I should be doing that." And it might be difficult to institute a new tradition, kind of in the family. So question one.
Yeah.
How do you do that? How do you, like, kind of break into it? And then the second question is, you know, you develop these traditions in the family. It seems like the reason for these traditions is to instill in your children that they will keep doing this once they leave, you know, so that reading the Bible becomes not just a family tradition, but a part of their life. So how do you transition, this is question number two, the family tradition into something that makes them form it into a habit?
Sure. That's a really good question. I think kind of going back to what we said at the end of the first segment, when scripture has to have primacy. So even if you're a dad telling a story to your kids, holding your Bible while you're telling the story, even if you're not reading directly from it or reading, like maybe you read, you know, not all of it, but a few lines, but if you're holding it while you are, you're showing there's an authority beyond yourself. Those visuals are really, really important. You know, what I would say is you work off the rhythm that the church and her wisdom already gives you. And that's the rhythm of readings. You know, is it realistic to sit down with your breviary and to go through the liturgy of the hours with your kids every day? Maybe, probably not for most of us, but you know, maybe. But you can read the Sunday readings. And what I've been saying to a lot of people recently, and I've been challenging a lot of people, is if you aren't praying the Sunday readings before we get to Mass, then really your whole first half of the Mass is going to be subject to how well the lector reads, how good the homily is, and how few distractions there may be around you. Right. I mean, the whole liturgy of the word it now becomes subjective. I mean, in terms of your experience, because it's based on so many other people. Mm-hmm. Right. However, say you sit down and we have the four readings counting the psalm in the course of the other 167 hours leading up to Sunday Mass. If you can chart out, you know, four times a week, two times a week, even once, depending upon the age of your kids, you know, maybe you're going to read the first reading on Monday during dinner. Maybe you're going to read the psalm response like on Tuesday before bed. Maybe you're going to read Wednesday. Or Thursday, you're going to do, you know, the second reading, you know, whatever. But you pick some times, but you read the readings ahead of time, and you prepare your kids. Now you're getting them into a rhythm of reading, a rhythm of hearing. you can, as a parent, you can kind of break out things that make sense for them, unpack it a little bit. It forces you as a parent to actually get on board and get in a rhythm of prayer, you know, for you and your spouse and that kind of a thing. But it teaches them this rhythm, and the rhythm is not only going to help them prepare for Mass now, the rhythm is going to remind them later that there's a rhythm in a prayer. Like, there's, my Mass preparation is not just about when I get in the car and we're 10 minutes late on Sunday. My Mass preparation starts taking place throughout the course of the whole week, because then you as a parent start to teach them, okay, what are you praying for this week? What are you bringing with you in terms of your petition, you know? And how do you marry what's going on in your week to that petition that you put at the base of the altar on Sunday, you know? Mm-hmm. And why does the church have this formula? Why does she always start by imparting God's wisdom to us? You know, why does the Father impart his wisdom to us in this way before we partake of the table, you know? So that's why I like to unpack the readings over dinner during the course of the week. You know, it doesn't take the whole dinner time, but to start marrying the word to the meal, you know what I mean? It forces you to take your time. It forces real conversation, not just the, hey, what happened at school today kind of conversation. But I think there's a genius built into the church's rhythm and the cycle of readings and mm-hmm. the seasons of reading, the ups and the downs. And if you do that, then what you're doing is you're teaching your kids that, you know what, crap's going to happen, man. Like, you're going to have good and bad seasons. That's why the Psalms so important. I mean, 2/3 of the Psalms are Psalms of lament, like when things aren't going well, you know? Right. Like one minute you're like, God, you're my rock, you're my fortress, you're my deliverer, I love you. The next day you're like, God, you've abandoned me, where are you? You're supposed to be kind and merciful. That's life, man. That's Wednesday to Thursday, that's Monday to Tuesday. If we teach our kids this stuff, then you know what? When Tuesday happens, they're not shaken, because they realize, like, they're given greater perspective. And if it's part of, if it's built in, you know, the kids might roll their eyes at first, depending on their age, when you're like, you know, reading at dinner, that kind of a thing. But when it's built in, and if you start to develop some other kind of traditions, hey, you're going to read the reading this week. Okay, well, how do I say this word? Well, what does that word mean? Now, this does take extra work on mom and dad's part. Mm-hmm. But there are some great resources that are out there now. I have a podcast on iTunes. It's free. Bishop Barron has a podcast. Dr. Hahn has a podcast. There's so many podcasts about the Sunday readings, you know, now that exist, that never existed before. They're totally free. And you can listen to them just in a matter of minutes. Also, if anybody's interested, I wrote a book, and we have it out through Life Team. It's called Ascend. So if you go to lifeteam.com, you go to the store, it's an overview of the upcoming Sunday readings. So every upcoming Sunday reading. So basically, it's like I wrote 3 pages on every single Sunday reading. It lists the readings. But you actually have to open it up in your own Bible to look them up, because there's a virtue and there's an importance to kids learning how to navigate the Bible and read it in their own. Totally. But I gave a background to all the Sunday readings. Hey, here's how these readings go together. Okay. Here's like the theme you're supposed to pull out of these. Here's some of the background. Hey, when you hear this word, okay, this is a random word that nobody in the 21st century knows. Here's what that word means. Here's why Jesus seems so PO'd right now. Here's why the Pharisees are trying to say it this way. So some of the background stuff, you know, so that stuff that those of us who didn't study scripture wouldn't necessarily know, but in plain terms, there's some discussion questions you can do like live with your family, or you can journal with. There's an opening and a closing prayer. The whole book costs like $10. So I mean, something like that. So it's literally like 50 cents a week or something ridiculous, or 20 cents a week. I can't do the math. I suck at math. That's why I study theology. But it's super cheap, so that you can have it there, and then every week it just helps you go deeper into the readings, you know? So that there's things like that that exist. So if a dad's listening to this right now, a guy, he's like, I can't, that sounds great in theory, but I can't do that. I don't know anything about the Bible. There are things that can help you. There are books that can help you, you know, for like the cost of like a cup of coffee, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Dave, I got to tell you, I'm going to answer this question too, even though you posed it to Mark.
Okay.
One thing that I'm absolutely grateful for my father is, when we had prayer time, family prayer time, you know, I have two younger sisters, and we're always competing with each other as siblings. You know, you want to be the best. My dad helped us memorize every single book of the Bible, and how he did it was, each night we'd learn 5 books of the Bible, and so you know, first day Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, we'd memorize those 5. Then the next night, it's who can remember those 5, and then we add 5 more, you know. And so I memorized the whole Bible, every single book of the Bible, within, you know, 4 or 5 months, you know, five books at a time. And even though, you know, it's not actually reading the Bible, it's really helped me when I'm navigating through, you know, remembering is, you know, Esther, is that in the Old Testament or New Testament? You know,
the beginning or the end.
Where is this in the Bible? Sure. It really helps me navigate through. Which kind of answers your question on how do you make that a habit moving forward.
Yeah.
Once you know where things are in the Bible, it's easier to look them up.
But it also taught you, it taught you several things. It taught you confidence when you're navigating it, mm-hmm. right? Right.
Absolutely.
So confidence is really important. I mean, that's one of the reasons that most of us don't read the Bible is we're not confident in what we're reading or how we're reading it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't know how to go about it.
Yeah.
It teaches you relevance, because obviously it's important to Dad, it's important to you, mm-hmm. right? I mean, so you get confidence, you got relevance, and you get prominence. You know what I mean? Because he could have taught you to memorize baseball statistics, and maybe he did. He could have taught you to, you know, I mean, he could have set you up for fantasy football. You know, mm-hmm. it's great.
Sure.
But this is important. So to take confidence and relevance and prominence out of that time with Dad, and you're still carrying that on now as you have your own family. Like, think about that. That's a gift that your dad gave you mm-hmm. that no one can ever take away from you.
Right.
And that will never go away. You know, it's always going to be there. And long after your father's gone, you're going to remember that. You know, I mean, like, we're going to be remembered as dads for all the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know what I mean?
Right.
And our kids are going to remember the ugly real well. They're going to remember the bad real well.
Yeah.
So I'm a big believer in, look, I can't take away some of the ugly and some of the bad that happened, you know what I mean? My not so great moments. But what I can do is work harder on the good to replace, you know, a lot of those other ones with better memories, you know, and good memories, things that are going to last long after I'm worm food, you know?
So, Mark, you're the Bible geek, and we just found out this week you came out with a new book on the Bible.
I did. You know, oddly enough, it was on the Bible. Yes, it was. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. I came up. It's a brand new book. It's called Unleashing the Power of Scripture, A Guide for Catholics. Love a good subtitle, right?
Okay.
Unleashing the Power of Scripture. It's available on Amazon. It's available in Catholic bookstores, all that kind of thing. And it's really just, this is a book. Hey, if you know you want to really start reading the Bible, you don't really know where to start, you're not really sure how to chew through it, this book would be for you. I put a lot of exercises and things like that in there, a lot of overviews in there to kind of say, hey, here's how you read this kind of writing. Here's some great exercises. I teach some Lectio Divina. I teach you where Scripture is throughout the course of the Mass, and really just kind of, hey, here's some kind of mini Bible study exercises that you can do just to kind of start cutting your teeth and going deeper and develop a rhythm. I also put in it. here's like a 10-step plan on how to start reading the Bible more regularly, and then the cycle of Sunday readings, so that they'll know like what's coming up this Sunday.
Well, Mark, man, I wish that we had another segment to go. I wish we had another 10 minutes to talk to you, but we're about to hit the break. So I want to thank you so much for coming on to the Catholic Man Show. Tell Lino, said hi, and tell him that we're the Man Show. He's the Guy Show.
I'll be sure to let him know. I will call him effeminate to his face.
Oh, thanks so much. Well, we want to thank Juan Posada for giving us the Duke Kentucky Straight Bourbon. Talked about the votive candle. Talking with Mark Hart on ways to read the Bible with the family.
Good family tradition.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.